Bridge to the Nations is a two-year training process that we go through with a small group of students to help them become what God has already put in them, which is to be church planters, which is to go and give it all away, to reproduce churches all over the earth. And then we take a day to commemorate them. And so this morning is going to be a talk with them that I want all of you to hear. All right? So that's the way we're going to work this. But those are our Bridge to the Nation students this year. And I just want to take some time in this morning to address them as a father would his children. Paul often says that to those that he'd worked with, and I feel that way about them. You guys have endeared yourself to me. There's been a lot of great joy, all these chances to be together in community that has been developed, and then there's been some real hard stuff. There was three students that started with us that for one reason or another we didn't get to finish out, and so there's been all of that, and yet we've seen God's grace. There's a call from London right now coming in. Yeah. You guys would just have to know Bridge to the Nations. That's so typical of what happens as we train and do life together. Hey, I want our body to open up, and you guys specifically, open up, if you will, to Revelation 2, 26 through 29. Passage that has come to mind numerous times for us, but there's an end, there's a promise in this, at the end of this passage, that I think relates well to us, because there's one overarching theme that I want as a spiritual father, as one who's helped in the process of training you, to encourage you with, and it's the subject of authority. It's probably not a real popular one. It's something that you've heard us talk about. I know you've heard Tom discuss that with you in Bridge to the Nations. But this is the promise that's given to us about authority. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, I will give you authority over all the nations. And that's something we've trained and prayed and asked God for you and together. They will rule the nations with an iron. They will rule with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So we have this beautiful promise of ruling over the nations, of God giving us the nations as our inheritance. But there's a whole lot of circumstantial buts, isn't there? There's a whole lot more to that statement. Like that statement out of First Chronicles where he says, you know, I know the plans I have for you to give you life and not death. And we quote that with such eloquence, don't we? But it's in the midst of saying you're going to be in exile for 70 years is the context of that. And when you read this passage in its context, you see that there's some real hard things that has to happen. There's some real hard things that he's asking them to do and to be in order for him to hand the authority that he wants them to have. I remember I used to have a football coach. Now, you have to understand the context of where we are. My football team in high school, we lost all the way from the year before I got there to the year after I got there. So 5 straight years, they lost every football game. Wow. Okay? Now, we did win 2 games when I was a junior, but we forfeited them because some guy on our team was like 30 and, you know. Yeah, well, they wouldn't have caught us, but he brought a couple kids to the game. So, you know, it was one of those deals. But I remember our coach was always giving us these speeches, you know, about, and he'd walk through the process with us. I only played when I was a senior because my dad wanted me to, and, you know, I thought, well, it's the last chance I got. And this guy, our coach would give us these big speeches about how we were going to walk through the process of being state champions, okay? So he'd give it to us at the beginning, and, you know, and he'd talk through, and then we'd get beat 48-0, and then he'd say, okay, that one wasn't the conference, you know, that one didn't matter. We learned our lessons, and then he'd walk all the way through the process with us. And so it was like this huge promise that we thought, well, we'll never live up to that. I mean, you know, I'm 5'9" tall and I'm playing nose guard. What are we going to do here? And we're playing in the highest class that there is, 4A at that time. I mean, this makes no sense, you know. I remember playing one time and these two guys double team knocked me down. I'm laying on the ground there in the middle of Ponca City and I look at one of them. I go, it only takes one of you to block me. What are you both doing on this team? But our coach was always giving us these mega promises, you know, and we couldn't live up to it. Now, this sounds like a mega promise, doesn't it? And he'd talk about what we'd have to do. You know, we're going to have to work harder, you know. Well, we needed about 6 inches taller, every one of us, and about 50 pounds more and all of that stuff. But guys, the God who's speaking here isn't like my football coach. He can really give us this stuff. He can really give us the authority over the nations. But there is some real contingency here. There's some things that we have to walk through. And one of those, in order to have authority, we have to come under authority. And that's what I want to remind you of today, okay? I want to remind all of us of the cosmic story of authority, okay? And how the natural story of authority and how those two collide. Look with me, if you will, in Isaiah, and we'll get the picture of what the cosmic story looks like about authority. Isaiah 14 gives us, the story here gives us how authority was broken. God, this supreme being, the maker of all heaven and earth, gives us a little picture here about what happened with authority. Okay, so God is over all the earth, the powerful being, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who rules, is and was. And then he says, here's what happens, though, to break this down. And he's speaking of Satan, Lucifer. How you have fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. You have said to yourself, now listen to this. You have said to yourself, listen to all the I wills in this. I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain over the gods who are far away in the north. And I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. You see that? What happened there to break this authority? Not for eternity. But that's what happened. And now we're under this type of rulership. If you will, look in John 14 and you'll see there how that affects us today. Satan said that. This is something from the New Testament that gives us a passage that kind of further explains this story to us. I don't have much time to talk to you, John's writing here, because Jesus is saying this. I don't have much time to talk to you because the prince of the world approaches and he has no power over me. Do you hear that phrase, the prince of the world, the ruler of this earth? At that time, when Satan ascended there, God gave him rulership over the earth for a certain time period. And then he says in John 16:11, you'll see very similar, judgment will come because the prince of this world has already been judged. Now, it collides in this sense in Genesis 3. That's where the cosmic story comes here, and we give ourselves over to that. When we said the same thing that Satan said, okay? Satan said, I will ascend to the throne. You know what we said? What we fell to? Satan says to Adam and Eve, look, you can be like God. And we bought it. We wanted our own authority. We were made to be under authority, created and loved by God. And it rose up within us that wasn't enough. But that's not where the story ends, does it? No, because Jesus comes to earth. Romans 8:20 is this description of how it's broken and how it's messed up and how creation is yearning for it to be set right. And then look at Colossians 2:13-15. You were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature. You were dead because you looked and said, I want to be like God. We bought that lie and tried to rule on this earth. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. He canceled the record that was contained in the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross. In this way, God disarmed the evil rulers of authorities. He shamed them publicly in victory over them by the cross of Christ. Jesus overcame. He put us back under His authority. And now we can reign and rule with Him. And even ask that His kingdom come into this fallen world. Little instances, little glimpses that lead to bigger and bigger places where the nations come under His rulership and His authority. Now, I want to remind you of a couple little nuances, though, about authority. It's said in the Scriptures in Matthew 6:24, that you can't serve God and mammon. You're going to serve one and the other. It's not as said as powerfully, but it might be as ingrained into our mind just as much by Bob Dylan, who said you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil and it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And folks, that's the truth. Guys, that's the truth. You have been given authority by God to choose whose authority you're going to be under. Now, I believe a sovereign work of grace, that He has to work it in us for us even to be able to choose Him and all those things. But He has given us a measure of authority. But the authority is who we're going to be under the authority of. Now, here's this cool little story, though, that comes out of that, very, very close to Matthew 6:24. Comes out of Matthew 8, when the centurion meets Jesus. You remember that one? When he comes up to him in Matthew 8. Let me just read it to you. Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13. I love this story. Jesus actually takes and he likens being under authority and understanding it to faith. This guy, the guy never says anything about faith, other than he says you can do what you want to here. And then he goes on to explain his situation, which is, I'm a man under authority. So watch what he does in this. In Matthew 8, 5 through 13. When they arrived in Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed and he's paralyzed and he's racked with pain. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And then the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you even come to my house. Just say the word from right here where you are and my servant will be healed. I know because I'm under authority. I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, and come, and they come, and I say to my slaves, do this or do that, and they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He turned to the crowd, and he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of the land of Israel. Now, do you see where he links that? Faith with knowing and coming under authority. Guys, that's what faith is. It's knowing who rules the universe. It's knowing that He has ultimate authority. That's what He's calling upon here. And all of our life and all that we're made of, all that's in our own nature and all that we're tempted to be is to throw off authority. To say, I can do this. I don't need you to. Jesus likens faith with knowing who His authority is and coming under it. Now, I want to walk with you through a few places where we need to really come underneath this. The first one is government. Romans 13 is a beautiful passage. It tells us, obey the laws of your land. Okay? Wherever you guys go in the earth, you need to know God set that and allowed that government to be in place. Okay? And the best we can in every way, except for when it breaks the authority of His word and what He's told you to do in that word, you need to come under the laws of that land. Jesus says, He tells His apostles to tell us, go and be good citizens. The second one's with our families. Man, I had my heart broke last night just listening to this. I went to a graduation with my family. And we were sitting there. My oldest niece, graduated from school last night. And I was listening to all my friends as kids were graduating down there. I was like, oh, gosh, that's weird. And then I looked down the row. My sister that's 4 years younger than me had a kid graduating, okay? You know, and my jaw sagged a little bit more. And I probably got a few more wrinkles over here just thinking through that. But they had a guy come up at the end that they asked to do this talk every year, right? And they have him end. I called him Mr. Kumbaya because he had this speech that had everybody crying and everything. But he read that song. He read that little story and played music in the background of that, I love you forever, I'll like you always. Have you guys ever heard it? As long as I'm living, you're my baby, you'll be. And it's a story about a mother who takes her baby and holds a little baby, sings that little song to him, and then they go on and, go on and go on. And this story ends with even when he was old, she'd apparently travel across town and sneak in his window and, hold the man, And I know, it gets real weird. But hey, it's a story, and it's Kumbaya, that was weird too. But the story ends with her being too old and sick to come and sing it to him anymore. He goes to her house and gathers her up and holds her in his arms and sings it. And then he goes home and sings it to his little girl. And the process continues. And I was sitting there listening to that. And then the guy goes through and he's got like a deaf kid there that's in the deal. And he walks through and says, whatever. I don't know, Teresa, I know that you can't hear the words I'm saying with your ears tonight, but your heart hears me, and I want you to know that, the songs that you sing in your heart, I sing with my lips, and, or the songs that you hear in your heart, I hear with my ears, and I hear for you, and all these things, and this lady's up there signing this stuff, and I mean, it's just like seriously wrenching your heart, and you're already vulnerable, and all of a sudden, he's, doing this little sing-song talk, and I realize, man, do I honor my mom that way? Am I really under her authority? Or do I just like telling all the family jokes, about how she carries a great big bag of food every place she goes with us and nobody can take luggage any place when we go on family trips because my mom has this great big bag of food, with things that's been, expired 4 years ago in the bag. Now, there's a funny part to that, but guys? There's also an honoring part to it. And I'm asking my I'm asking God, let my kids love me and honor me where they really would, that I'd be their joy. And God's saying back to me, but Eddie, I ask you to do that with your mom. You know what, guys? We can come under the, one of the greatest ways we come under authority is to be under the authority of our parents. Even if they're screwy and messed up and all the stuff like some of the governments of the earth are, we come under their authority. Now, there's one last one, and that's the authority of the church, the authority of being in his body and under the headship of Jesus that I want you guys to recognize and walk through with me. This is where I think there's something real specific for you guys and for us as a body, okay? I guess there's probably three tiers of all of this that I'd mention to all of us. It's the authority of the Word, the authority of the Spirit, and the authority of the leadership of the church. Okay? There's a little passage, if you look at it with me, from Psalms 15. It talks about the authority of the Word. Just the essence of life. And guys, I know we live in a time and an age that thinks that, that some of this is irrelevant and goofy and, and boy, as long as we can get them to know that Jesus loves them and, at least there's some of that that goes around. But you know what? The truth of the matter is how do I know that Jesus loves me? I mean, you've sang the song 1,000 times. How do you know it? The Bible tells me so, don't I? The Bible tells me that. And I want you guys to love this word. That's why we put Marcia in front of you guys. Because she loves God's word. Marcia and I do this 1,000 different ways. But she loves God's word like nobody I know, and I want her to be in front of you guys. Look, if you will, at Psalms 15. Who may worship in the sanctuary of the Lord? Who will enter into the presence of the holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives, who do what's right, who speak the truth with sincere hearts, those who refuse to slander others or harm their neighbor, to speak evil of their friends, those who despise persistent sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord. They keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who do not charge interest on the money they lend and who refuse to accept bribes and testify against the innocent. Such people like this will stand forever. Here's the point. The Word of God tells me what type of character I ought to have. Tells me how to live this out. It's my standard. It tells me who God is, and it tells me how to live it out. What does the Spirit of God do? He comes in and infuses me with the power to do it. This really would be just a bunch of rules unless the Spirit of God came. That's why you can't separate them. You know, you can try, but you can't do it. It takes the Spirit of God to be my authority and to come in. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4:6-10. Never cheat another Christian. In this manner by taking his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to be holy, not to live impure lives. Anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human rules, but is rejecting God. And look at that. Who gives you his Holy Spirit. But I don't need to write you about about the Christian love that should be shown among God's people. For God himself taught you to love one another. Who taught us? God himself. How? He gave us his Holy Spirit. Shed abroad in our hearts the love that he shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. How do I live out this life? Only by his Spirit. He infuses me with his Holy Spirit to live the life that he's called me to live in this book. You can't separate them out, guys. It doesn't happen. How do I live it? How do I go to the ends of the earth or across the street and live the life that he's got? I know his word. I know what that life looks like, and I'm infused by his Spirit. No other way. No other way. Try it. I don't dare you because I don't want you to, but it won't happen. Now, there's another one that we think, okay, well, I'll live this individual life. God will tell me in his word, I'll read it, and he'll infuse me with his Spirit. And I don't need nobody else. Doesn't happen that way. Just doesn't happen that way. Why? Because he's given us a body. You know? I'm going to have this great family, and I'm going to shun all the others off. Nope, he's given you your family to be under authority of, and if you don't get it there, then don't think you'll just start it. You're put into this family. And guys, I know at Bridgeway that, you know, I mean, just for a million reasons, it's tough to come under and be under authority. One, we attract different people here, you know, and we attract people that have been hurt by churches that set up rules, you know, and just did all the stuff. I mean, some of those people are attracted here. By the very nature of culture around us, you know, that says throw off all the rules and the leadership and the other people. You don't need that stuff. Just, you know, all the stuff that says to us that we don't have to come under authority. It's just tough, you know. It's an age and a time where that's acceptable and we think it tastes good or it tickles our ears. But God calls us to be under the authority. Now, let me just read to you Ephesians 4 to remind you. So I'm not coming up with some crazy thing. Well, that sounds good, but, you know, you talked about the word earlier. Let's see it, buddy. That's it. I'm going, I wait till the song you have played at the end, baby.
No.
I'm telling you, it'll make Friends look like Def Leppard. Ephesians 4. You know, that reminds me of me talking to the kids and Carolyn yelling outside the door at, tell them about You know, it's not like that, Lance. That's what their talks look like. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. What were we talking about? Oh, the church. Okay, here we go. And the authority. He, God, is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. Okay? And look what they're built. We're being built up. He's put us under the authority of the leadership that he's put here until we come to such a unity of the faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. You know what he's talking about? The character of Christ. The body of Christ, living the life of Christ that he's called us to live, that he's called us to by the word of Christ, the word who is Jesus and who he's told us about. And this is the character he wants us to live. He's put the church in place to teach us, to train us to live up that way. And that's what we're asking you and commissioning you guys to go and to be. To live this life, to have that type of character in us. That every place we go, we're the body of Christ. We live his life. You can't separate it. That's why it's one of our values, character. Guys, we've got to go after that. He says to live up to the full measure of Christ. What is he? Some theory? No, the life that he lives. The type of life that he lived. Up is down. He's the servant. He gives himself away. He loves people. He says no to the things that he ought to say no to. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lived in him and he was able to say no to the stuff he ought to say no to. That's what he's calling you guys to be. That's how big a deal that authority is. That I'll give you the authority to rule over the nations, he says in Revelation 2. How? If you'll come under authority. How? If you'll be under authority. But I promise you, every single one of us, we fight it. We want to regurgitate it with everything we are. There are some times when it's right to fight it off because it's against his word. How do I know to go against the authority of my, you know, the family or against those that are over my church when it goes against the obvious word of God? That's when I know when to bite it off. Not in some screaming, you know, crazy, throwing a fit way, but I just humbly say, this is what the word says. Guys, everything you are when you leave here, it's like we give you this authority to go and do these things. You know what we're giving you the authority of? To be under authority. To go and give your life away. To go and make other people more important than you are. To live that way. Not that they are or aren't. It's just you make them feel like they, you know, like they're loved by God by you giving them your life. Not trampling over you or anything. You know what I mean by that. But by giving your life to them. You don't get authority unless you come under authority. All authority has been given unto you. How? By being humbly under his authority. The authority of his word, the authority of his spirit, and the authority of the church body that you said, this is who I come under. And you have a right to buck that when it breaks the word. Right? Why do I need to know who his spirit says and what his word says so I can live this life? And that's what we're calling you guys to. Now I want to end today with this. Instead of having people come pray for you, I want Lance and I and the elders to come and pray over you guys. And then I'm going to ask Joel to come back. And I'm going to ask him to lead us in a worship song. Okay, we'll stand, we'll sing. And then I'm going to ask the other Bridge to the Nations to come up here, students, graduates, and others to be up here and to pray for us. That'll be our ministry time along with you guys, okay? We're asking you guys and sending you out. And the other half that isn't here, that they'll get this speech. You just wait. They've already gotten it, some of them, especially the growlers. And we're giving you guys the authority to go and to be under authority. To live his life and his character because he's infused you with his spirit and he's given you his word. So that he can rule over the nations through you. Someday he'll rule completely and fully. But we're saying, now, come. Lance, Tom, looking around, Bob, I don't know, John's not here today, Coob, Mark, Bob, other elders that might be around. Will you guys come up? Tom, would you lead this prayer of commissioning and giving them authority to be under the authority? Would you do that? Let me give you this.
Father, we do, first of all, we ask your unbridled blessing on these young people to go forth under the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and your church. And would you break their hearts in submission to you, to your word, that their lives might totally reflect the life of our Savior. And because it's in his name that we do commission them, that we say, by the authority of God's word, to walk in the authority he's given you over the nations, and to bring the name of our Savior to the far reaches of the earth, to wherever his spirit leads you, will you walk in that authority, the authority that Eddie's talked to you about this morning, the authority by being in submission to the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and his word and his spirit. And so we bless you and we thank you for your hearts, which you've committed to follow him wherever he leads you. And we thank you that you have given yourselves in a way that is reflective of the Savior. And we as leaders here honor your lives as you honor our Savior. When we say these things in the name of our Savior and for his sake. Amen.
Thanks, Tom. Let me ask if you guys will just stand to your feet. Bridge to the Nation students, graduates, second-year students who were first-year students last year. That means that you're this year. We get to go to the confusion all again. And you guys, if you would come up, be our ministry team.